Hello. Welcome back to our video study through the book of Exodus. We come to our final week of studying the book of Exodus this week. And in this week, we are studying God's instructions for Israel about constructing the tabernacle. Now, that word tabernacle in Hebrew literally means the dwelling, because it was a place where God would come and dwell or live among his people. Now, this word tabernacle is very interesting when it concerns God and living amongst his people, but more on that in just a second. So the tabernacle, the way it was constructed, was to serve a couple of different purposes. First of all, it was essentially a giant tent, because at this point in Israel's history, they had to be mobile. They're still out in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, and God wanted to establish their worship patterns right off the bat. And so he instructs them to build this tabernacle as a tent so that it could be taken down and put up as needed. It's a mobile worship site. This is not something that's completely foreign to our church because of how we are renting a space at the moment. You know, we're setting up and tearing down for every service that we have every week. So this is a similar concept. It had to be a tent made with curtains so it could be very mobile. But the other thing that's very interesting about the tabernacle is that for it to be a dwelling of God amongst his people, it was kind of restrictive. For example, the temple itself was surrounded by a large tabernacle, it was eventually become the temple when they moved into the promised land. The tabernacle itself was surrounded by a large curtain forming a courtyard, about 100 square feet, forming a courtyard all around the tabernacle, the tent itself. Any non-Jewish people, now that refers to religiously, not racially, anyone who was not embracing the Jewish religion was not allowed inside of that outer curtain at all. So you got the outer courtyard. Even within that outer courtyard, there were a couple of items there. You had the bronze altar where sacrifices were going to be altered. You had a large, essentially wash basin that was to be used for the priests to clean either the sacrifices or themselves in. And that was it out there in that outer courtyard. And then you had the tent, the tabernacle itself, inside. Only the priests were allowed to go into the actual tabernacle. So we got only Jewish people of the Jewish religion allowed to come inside of the courtyard. Only priests could go inside of the tabernacle itself. Now, inside of the tabernacle, there was a curtain dividing it into two sections. Two-thirds of it, the front two-thirds of it as you went in, was called the holy place. And in that holy place, there were three things. There was a table, which would have what they called showbread on it. So there were 12 loaves of bread representing the 12 tribes of Israel that constantly had to sit on that table. There was the golden candlestick, which was there to essentially provide light and remind them that God is their light. And then there was the altar of incense, which they were to have incense continually burning on there, which would rise up, and the cloud of smoke that rose up from the altar of incense was to represent the prayers of God's people ascending up to him. And then there was the next curtain that separated off the final one-third of the tabernacle. And beyond that curtain, only the high priest could go. And only once a year on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, to make a sacrifice of atonement for all the people. And behind that final curtain, in what was called the Most Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies, there was only one item, and that was the Ark of the Covenant, which was essentially a box that they constructed, gold-plated the top of it with something called the mercy seat, which is where the high priest once a year would sprinkle blood on top to make atonement for his people. It's also where God would descend in the form of a cloud and rest on the mercy seat to meet with the high priest or just to sit and dwell among his people there. So we see what I say when I say the tabernacle was kind of restrictive. Not anybody could just go in. Only someone of the Jewish faith could even enter the outer courtyard. Only a priest could enter into the tabernacle itself, and only the high priest once a year could go into the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, in the very interior of the tabernacle. Now, all of this was designed on purpose and intended to show to the people of Israel that in order for them to worship God, a chasm needed to be crossed. Because, again, God is holy and Israel is not. They're sinful people. And God in his holiness cannot just come and live amongst sinners. So this was his way of living amongst them, behind all these curtains, behind all these veils, with the need for the high priest, even on the Day of Atonement, to perform these sacrifices outside of the tabernacle, do some more stuff inside the tabernacle before he entered into the Holy of Holies to sort of make atonement and prepare himself to enter into the presence of God Almighty. And even then, God's appearing in the form of a cloud. He's not directly showing his full glory, which he didn't even do to Moses, as we talked about before. So this tabernacle, though it was designed to be a place where men could dwell, God could dwell with his people, it was still very restrictive. Now, the interesting thing is, if we think about it, when God first created human beings, we were meant to be in a relationship with him. In the book of Genesis, it talks about how God would walk with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But because of sin, which they committed, sin which we committed, that relationship was severed. And so people could no longer just live with God in a perfect relationship as we were meant to do. God here in the tabernacle is trying to establish a way to return back to that. And he says so much in Exodus 29, starting in verse 43, he says, "There," talking about the tabernacle, "I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." So though this was not a perfect way for God to be in relationship with his people, it was a way for him to dwell among them. God took one step further in this in the person of Jesus Christ. When we look at the book of John chapter 1, we see this description of the Word, which of course is representing Jesus Christ. We know that because it tells us in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So this Word that was with God in the beginning is eternal, that it goes on to tell us created all things, sustains all things, is obviously a reference to Jesus Christ, because in verse 14 it tells us, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." God in the flesh, God incarnate, who else can that be other than Jesus Christ himself? Which, of course, from our study in the book of John, our sermon series in the book of John recently, we know that that is the case. This Word refers to Jesus Christ. But interesting that the word here for "he dwelt among us" is taken from a word that could be translated as "he tabernacled with us." So that tabernacle, which we said in Hebrew means to a dwelling place, to dwell, now we see that being used again, that not only now in the person of Jesus, we don't just have a tent for God to live among his people, but God himself came down in the person of a human being and dwelt among us. Of course, through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the veil, the curtains in the temple were ripped from top to bottom to show that a way was made available for us to have a relationship with God more closely. But God dwelling physically among us. Of course, Jesus at the end of his ministry on earth, when his time was complete, he ascended back into heaven. So God no longer physically dwells among us. And yet Jesus told us that if he left, he would send us another comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, who now lives inside of all who believe in Christ. So we go from having no relationship at all to God living with his people in a tent or a tabernacle with these curtains guarding, to God physically being among his people, to now God living inside of his people in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we know from the book of Revelation that God will eventually live in a perfect relationship with his people once again, with all people once again in the future, in a new heaven and a new earth. This is what the book of Revelation says in Revelation 21. Now, this is at the end of everything, the very end of the book. John, writing in the book of Revelation, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice coming from the throne, saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place.'" Now that word dwelling place there is also a word that could refer to the tabernacle. "The tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." So it all comes full circle as we see God's ultimate plan to live in relationship with human beings. And really, isn't that what the entire book of Exodus is about? God rescuing the people of Israel out of slavery to live in a covenant relationship with him. As a perfect picture as well of the New Testament, when we see Jesus rescuing us out of our slavery to sin, to live in a new covenant relationship with him, where the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts. And ultimately, at the end of all things, we see that God wants to live amongst all people, and he will in the new heaven and new earth that he's going to establish at the end of all things. Wow. You didn't know there was so much to know about the tabernacle, I bet, huh? Well, it's been fun, this study through the book of Exodus. I hope and pray that you have learned a lot. I hope and pray that you will share that with those that you meet. Thank you, and God bless.